Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's star time.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. This song is for the children and their dreams. You can be a lawyer, doctor, and even a president. All you got to do is believe.
And it is an honor, privilege, and a pleasure to spend this Friday, January 28th, 2022 with you. This is the last Friday of the new year, and it is star time because the star on this show today is not only an author and a poet, but she is a newly developed radio show host, and I just can't wait because there's all of these different elements of growth. So grab a good seat and prepare to feast as we dish out the serving of gumbo. You won't leave hungry. Our nationwide lineup of seasoned authors, along with our generous sponsors have teamed up to bring right content and relatable dialogue for your listening and reading pleasure. Today's guest on A Book Is Born is author, poet, radio show host, Erin Joshua, to discuss her literary journey and give us the 411 on where to buy a copy of her new page turner. You can call in and talk to us also by dialing 515-605-9351, or for your listening pleasure online, just go to our studio at blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul. Gumbo for the Soul is the parent brand of Tri Family Channel and A Book Is Born. Please visit GumboForTheSoulInternational.com and contribute to our current calls for submissions. We have 4 books under development, so we want to have you published with us this year, and we welcome you to be a guest on A Book Is Born. Email us at tribefamilychannel@gmail.com. Now let's get ready to talk to this amazing author. How are you, Erin Joshua? What's happening, my sister?
I am amazing, Beverly. I'm so amazing. That was a good introduction. You made me sound good. Thank you.
When you shine, you shine. You're going to sound good regardless of who's talking about you, because, hey, when you got it, you got it, and you got it. You know, Erin, you've been on our show before. You are a new favorite and regular now on Tri-Family Channel, A Book Is Born. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, this sister has helped us kick off a very enlightening show called The Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community, where she is a co-host and sponsor with Mr. Allen T. Black. So we really want to thank you for that. Your sponsorship is what keeps us on the airwaves. So now, let me start with, who came first in as far as your creativity, Erin Joshua the author or Erin Joshua the poet?
It was definitely Erin Joshua the poet. I've been writing poetry since I was a kid, really. I remember watching Poetic Justice, and I was like, I want to be just like Justice. I'm going to get myself a notebook. I'm going to write these poems. And I still have notebooks from when I was a kid of little poems that I would write in school or in my room. So I was definitely a poet first. I've always been a poet, and I always, that's what I am first. I'm always first a poet, no matter what. No matter what I write, I'm always a poet.
All right. So when you talk about Poetic Justice, who influenced you more in that movie? Was it Janet Jackson, Tupac, or I forget the Tory? Who influenced you more?
Oh, Guy Tory?
Guy Tory, yeah, thank you. With that hairbrush.
I feel like... I think for me it was a mixture. It was definitely a mixture of Janet Jackson and Tupac, because my big sister was a huge fan of Tupac, so I was already aware of his music, of his art form. And then when I was watching the movie and hearing the poems, which are actually Maya Angelou poems, but seeing Janet Jackson, seeing a black girl who had braids, I had braids like that, and just to see her really be intentional about writing things down and having, I even remember looking at her notebook in the movie and being like, I want a cool notebook like that. And even to this day, like every year for my birthday, I will buy myself a new notebook. Like I'll go to a bookstore or at Half Price Books, and I'll find a really cool notebook for myself. So it was definitely a mixture between the two. But for sure, I think it was strongest was Janet Jackson, because just – and then hearing her voice recite words, recite the Maya Angelou poems really struck a chord with me. Like, oh, this – and it didn't necessarily sound like what you would think poetry is supposed to sound like. You know, roses are red, violets are blue. You know, up until that point, that's what I thought poetry was. But hearing her talk about herself, like, I'm a phenomenal woman, or just talk about what she's experiencing all throughout the movie, I was like, oh, so you can just write about your life, and that's poetry. So that, to me, really, really, I think that's influenced me the most.
Awesome, awesome. Both of them are two of my favorites. My daughter met Janet Jackson when she was about in the eighth grade. My eldest daughter, she'll be 38 this year. But she corresponded with Janet and sent her a poem, and Janet sent her back an autographed picture that she still has to this day. We have ties to the Jackson family. And that's another story. In our book, Gumbo for the Soul, Men of Honor, we were honored by permission of the Jackson family to be able to honor Michael Jackson. And so going back to Gumbo for the Soul Publications audience, we want to encourage you to participate in our calls for submission for the second edition of Men of Honor. Michael Jackson is honored for his philanthropy in the first edition of Men of Honor. And I'm telling you, that man and the Jackson family in general has donated and been very instrumental in a lot of organizations. It's just phenomenal. And, you know, his feature is like 3-4 pages long just for the philanthropy. So, you know, all of that to say, maybe one day we'll be able to have you connected with Janet. You never know, because I'm big on making connections, because people are our greatest resource, and I believe in touching lives. And so, Janet Jackson is a phenomenal woman. When you think of her in terms of coming into her own, it's so mm-hmm. relatable. We hear what you're saying about, oh, you can write about yourself in poetry, mm-hmm. and making that connection with Janet, between Aaron and Janet, on liberating the poet inside of yourself. I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that June 16th is shared by myself and Mr. Tupac Shakur, my brother from another, y'all. Yes, I said it right here live. I love Tupac. And June 16th, we share that day for our birthday. Tupac,
oh, wow,
also,
that's amazing.
yeah. You know, it's a trip when you can relate to the poetic justice side of different artists. You know, because you think in terms of poetry on one hand, but then you think in terms of activism on another hand, you know, poetic yeah. justice.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So when you came into your own in terms of getting that notebook, what became your style of poetry, if you will? Expound for our audience, like, you know, what's your rhythm and flow?
It varies. When I started out, I used to make a lot of things rhyme, because I was like, let me rhyme some things just to throw that in there so people know it's a poem. But then when you come to the realization that, you know, I can write about myself, it became more about me writing my feelings in a rhythmic way, I guess. Mm-hmm. Just sometimes it's kind of flow out. And then I guess the way I write is kind of, I just write all my thoughts down and then I rearrange them. Like, there's literally like arrows and lines leading, like, this is going to be first, this is going to be next. It's a series of my feelings and trying to find a way to express my feelings other than saying, you know, I'm sad, you know, finding a way to use a metaphor for that and saying, you know, or I'm cold or my heart is cold or my mind is racing, just giving similes and metaphors. And I have an English bachelor in English, so I think that helped me a lot too growing up. Like, I was really good at English, so taking pieces of that and figuring out, like, how can I, what's another way to say this? And I used to read the dictionary as a kid, so just finding other words, just finding another way to say the same thing, and if that makes any sense.
Okay. All right. You know, that's very interesting in being that you're an educator, a lover of English. Anybody that goes into that field of study has to love English, the written word. You know, I mean, because come on now, it's challenging enough to command the proper speech of English, much less obey the rules of the rules of composition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, there's some rules to that. So you really have to love English to go that route. And you know, I'm just encouraged that you have all of these different dynamics to offer. Now, what's the name of your book, if you will embellish our audience on A Book Is Born? What is the name of your book?
The title of my book is Things I Only Say in My Head, A Poetic Journey to Self-Love.
Wow.
And I kind of came up with the name just because I felt like that's literally what it was. It was just stuff that I was really afraid to say out loud. And I just made them into poems. And I guess got the courage to put them in a book so that other people can hear what's going on in my head. And so I can, you know, learn to, I guess, accept myself and accept that it's okay. These feelings, these thoughts, all these things are okay, and learning to love myself.
You know, I want to say congratulations to you on your book and on always. But what's more important than the book is the purpose therein, whereas self-discovery, I mean, it's so important. And we have a stigma of low self-esteem because we've been programmed by everything that we see and hear that lifts up the other person, the one that is successful at what we're still trying to do. And we lose sight of the fact that everything we need to be who we are, we already have. Let me say that for the back row.
That part.
Everything we need to be who we are, we already have. I'm going to have to write that down. because of all the time we spend comparing ourselves to someone else or something else, we lose sight of self-discovery, and that is so liberating. So give us a sample of your poetic journey to self-discovery by way of one of your poems, the title, and it's if you have your book there, where, or if you want to, you know, spit from the dome, that's fine too. But give us an example of the liberated version of Aaron poetically.
Okay. The first poem in the book, I'll read that one, and it's literally, it's called Who I Am. And I'll intentionally put that at the beginning of the book so that the reader will know this is what you're getting yourself into. This is who I am as the author. Okay. Who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I am a pocket full of sunshine disguised as a rainy day. I am my mama's attitude dressed up as my daddy's mistakes. I am a freedom fighter for black boy joy. I am a hopeless romantic minus the romance part. I am a black woman laughing, black woman smiling, black woman healing everyone but myself, little sassy black girl. Little black girl that contorted herself into a reserved professional black woman. I am the truth when the lie ain't in me. I am the lie when the truth is too much to bear. I am the strong tower for you to stand upon and the shoulder on whom you can lean. I am all right. Even if I'm not all right, I am everything. I am told I am my ancestors' wildest dreams and my oppressors' greatest fears. I am the giving tree. I am fruit bore from rotten roots and the apple that fell right next to the tree hitting every branch on the way down. I am hard-headed and stubborn. You're going to have to tell me at least twice. I am the something your mama gave you to cry about. I am a forget-me-not. I am the love letter never written and a Dear John letter marked return to sender all at the same time. I am the mustard seed that became your faith and moved all your mountains. I am the love you prayed for and the courage you asked the wizard about. I am God and the devil in the blue dress. I am a living sacrifice and a walking testimony. I am a plot twist in your story, the thing you never saw coming. I am a woman. Well, that's it.
Girl. Y'all are tuned in live on Tri-Family Channels. A Book Is Born, sitting right there is author, poet, radio host Aaron Joshua. And I can't wait to get you on Spit, Spoken Poets, Intellectualizing, April 1st, 2022. You see, that was fire, and it's so relatable. I mean, I can relate. And I had never heard anyone other than myself in another time of life refer to themselves. You said I'm God and the devil in the blue dress all at once.
Yes.
You know, I used to say I'm a child of God and the devil's daughter. I rebuke it now. I rebuke it now, but you know, when you're looking at the pros and the cons, you know, mm-hmm. you're playing on the furthest extremes from the middle.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm in the middle, then the furthest extremes from the middle would be the holy of holies and the evil of evils. And here
exactly.
I am in the middle trying to figure out who I am, you know. So that was very powerful. There's so much that we can take out of that. But we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back on A Book Is Born via Gumbo for the Soul International and Tribe Family Channel. I am Beverly Black, and I'm your host, speaking with our guest, author, poet, radio host, Aaron Joshua.
Ever wanted to get away from it all? Maybe an inexpensive honeymoon, or even a second honeymoon, or just a mini vacation for the two of you? Now you can. You can go to the Shalites home, away from home, when they're not on tour. It's called the Shalites Dream Castle Villa, where you can relax in luxurious surroundings, where the staff and all amenities are at your full disposal. Their private gated villa offers 24-hour on-property security. Dream Castle Villa is just 20 minutes away from the newly constructed International Airport in Montego Bay, Jamaica. Enjoy incredible views of the Caribbean Sea and the Iron Shore Golf Course. The Shalites Dream Castle Villa is a relaxing, soothing, and romantic experience that's excellent for small private weddings, wedding renewals, engagements, anniversaries, or just a mini vacation for two. For reservations, visit their website at dreamcastlevilla.com or call toll-free at 888-747-9802 and see what other luxuries await you. Relax, just like the Shalites at the Shalites Dream Castle Villa, and hold on to your dreams.
You know the name.
You saw their story on Unsung.
You remember the hits.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the legendary Shalites featuring Marshall Thompson.
For over 50 years, the legendary Shalites have performed all over the world to standing room only crowds.
And now here's a brand new book
from the only original remaining member of this fabulous group.
The book is entitled Last Man Standing by Marshall Thompson, which chronicles the group's rise to fame with two number one hits and dozens of Billboard top 10 hits.
The Shalites were a force to be reckoned with. Last Man Standing is the story of a personal side of a man who sang about love, romance, and dreams. It will have you laughing out loud one moment and tearing at your heartstrings the very next. Last Man Standing by the legendary Marshall Thompson. Available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and eBooks.
This holiday season, show your loved ones how much Black lives matter. Give them the gifts that reveal the real history and culture of living Black. Give them books that inspire, motivate, and inform. Give the gift of the written words from the Living Now Bronze Medal winner, Harold Michael Harvey. Give them the Harold Michael Harvey Collection, which includes My C.T. Vivian Story, The Duke of 18th and Vine, Freaknik Lawyer, and Justice in the Round. Order some or the entire collection now to ensure delivery before the holidays at HaroldMichaelHarvey.com.
I know building a website can be intimidating, but you need a place where your audience can connect with you. Instead of fighting with technology, try the easiest, most flexible website builder available. With templates for all types of websites, ranging from landing pages to e-commerce, Urban Book Editor's platform makes creating an author website quick and easy. Just add a section, upload your photos and videos, type your text, and you're in business. It couldn't be easier. And if you sign up for an annual plan, you can get 10% off the first year. Just use discount code FIRSTYEAR. That's 1-STYEAR. The number 1-STYEAR in all caps. Take advantage of the 14-day free trial. No credit card is needed. Visit urbanbookeditor.com and select Create Your Author Website from the menu bar at the top of the page. No more struggling with technology. No more paying a small fortune to developers. Create beautiful websites without learning to code. Spend more time writing and less time worrying about your website. Just go to urbanbookeditor.com and select Create Your Author Website. You'll see how easy it is to build a great website to showcase your work. Go to urbanbookeditor.com and select Create Your Author Website today.
Welcome back live on Tribe Family Channel. A Book is Born by Gumbo for the Soul International. Please be sure to visit our website. We have 4 calls for submissions underway at Gumbo for the Soul Publications. That is going to be www.gumbofortheSoul.com. gumboforthesoulinternational.com. We're looking forward to hearing from you. And now we're back live with our guest, author, poet, radio host, Erin Joshua, telling us about her literary journey. Erin, that was a phenomenal poem that you gifted our ears with, and it's phenomenal just to listen to the unfolding of your journey poetically. Now, let's talk about the nuts and bolts of getting down to publishing. When you decided that you wanted to put your works into a compilation, if you will, for publications, what was your first move after you decided that you were going to publish? What was the first move that led you down that path to this journey?
Well, after I decided I wanted to do it, then I got in contact with some authors that I knew. I had a cousin who was self-published, and then a couple of people I'd met through my job. I spoke with them about what their journey looked like, and just to kind of feel out what would be the best journey for me. And then it was about me deciding what was going to actually go into the book and what that was going to look like. And then I self-published through Amazon. Amazon has a publishing site where you can literally design your books. You can design your book cover, how you want it to look on the inside, outside, all of that. You can submit it, and they will print it for you. But before I did that, I made sure I went to, the Library of Congress, and so I copyrighted all my information. So I think that was a really important step for me to make sure that I copyrighted my things so that, you know, no one could ever say that this is theirs when it's mine, or no one could say that I took something from someone else. It was really important for me to make sure that my work is given the credit that it's due. And then really going through Amazon and working through the app and the website to design the book cover, figure out what colors I wanted, what font I wanted. It wasn't hard, but it was a tedious process trying to decide what is it going to look like? What is it going to look like on the front, on the back? What is the typeface going to look like? How many pages is it going to be? What pictures am I going to use? Like all of that, like the formatting, the bold, all of that was really, it was fun, but it was a very tedious process. So then after doing that through Amazon, and then I had my book, and they sent me copies where I could work through it. Like it's a draft copy. Yeah, exactly. And so me and my best friend, like, proofread, went through it. I went over it. She went over it to see if there were any mistakes, because, you know, I was doing it on my own. I didn't really have any backing or anybody behind me, but I knew I could do it because I've seen other people self-publish before. And so we just went through it with a fine-tooth comb, and then I submitted my final copy, and I put it out into the world.
Wow. Congratulations. Congratulations. You know, everyone has a different journey, and it's very interesting to hear how it starts off for everyone, just the different paths that are taken. So you did, you had people to give you feedback when it came to answering questions and pointing you in the right direction. So that's good, because oftentimes people, you know, they take to the internet. First thing they do is take to the internet. And if you type in how to publish a book on the internet, you will be old and gray before you finish reading all of the sources.
Overwhelmed.
You will be overwhelmed, and it can be discouraging because it's just so much out there. So it's good to narrow down your focus, talk to other people. For our listening audience, you can even visit Gumbel for the Soul Publications, and we consult with you, point you in the right direction, get you past any roadblocks, walls, writer's blocks, whatever it takes. But you do have to, like you said, Aaron, it's a tedious process. It can be very laborious, but if this is your baby and you want that baby published, you will go through those labor pains to get that baby born.
Exactly.
And hence a book is born, ladies and gentlemen. This is why this show is called A Book is Born, because there is labor. There is a gestational period when you are impregnated and full with that word and that creativity that's dying to get from within you and out here where it belongs. And so it's a birthing journey. And I always like to encourage everyone that, you know, we all have a different journey towards the ultimate goal. And there may be no right or wrong way in terms of how your story is told, but there's a right and a wrong way as to how your story is presented. And so it's the business side to publishing, and people, there's a business side to everything. So whatever creativity that you have birthing from within, there's still a business side to protecting your brand, hence your copywriting your works before you introduce it to the world. And that's very important. You can copyright before or after you publish your works. For any of you out there that are interested in publishing your works, or if you've already published your works and you may have forgotten to copyright, simply send in 2 copies of your printed book to the Library of Congress Copyright Office. If you need direction in that area, feel free to contact Gumbel for the Soul Publications. We do it all. www.gumbelforthesoulinternational.com. Now, here on A Book is Born, I always want the audience or the guests to let our audience know where you're from and who you are. So where is Aaron Joshua from? And who exactly are you? Who are you?
I was born and raised in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. I lived there for the vast majority of my life. I currently live in Dallas, Texas. I've been here for the past 5 years.
All right.
And Erin Joshua is a teacher. I am an educator. I'm a elementary school librarian. I am a poet. I am a life coach. I am a friend. I'm a sister. I am an advocate for children, no matter what I plan to do in my life, no matter what. I know that children are a part of my purpose, so I call myself an advocate for children because I truly spend a lot of my time, a lot of my energy towards making sure that they have a better world for themselves and that they have more opportunities. I am on a journey of self-discovery, like you said. I am a discoverer of myself every day. I'm just a girl in the world trying to make a difference. I think that's really what it boils down to. I'm just trying to, you know, put my stamp on the world in the ways that I know how, and just by doing the things that bring me joy or I feel like that I'm good at, And, you know, I just pray every day that I'm doing, that I'm walking the path that God laid for me, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So, you know, when I get to the gate, he don't be like, girl, you messed up. So I just, you know, I just want him to, when I get to the gate, I want him to say, good job, girl. And so that's who I am.
Well, let's get your roses now. Good job, girl. You're doing it right now. Your heaven is right here on earth, and I want you to extend those wings and fly, because it is really, truly all about acquiescing, or not acquiescing, but matriculating and rising to the highest expression of our essence. That my goal for Beverly is to reach the highest expression of my essence. And for me, that will be creating all that I am now, so that I can hopefully enjoy heaven on earth here. And, you know, I want my flowers and my roses and my kudos while I can get them. And, you know, I'm throwing everything at it, everything that I can. So I'm loving hearing all of these different expressions of Aaron and who you are. And I want to remind everyone that Aaron Joshua is also a co-host, newly developed radio show co-host with Mr. Alan T. Black, no relation, right here on Tribe Family Channel, The Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community. And we're so honored, you know, you'll be back on the air on February 7th. And so we're looking forward to hearing that show. You have a remarkable guest. Excuse me, my bad. You'll be back on the air January 31st, and that show is remarkable. What made you want to become an educator and a librarian?
I always kind of knew I was going to be an educator. I remember being 5 years old, and my grandfather was babysitting me, and I asked him to read me a story. And my grandfather obviously was in his 60s or 70s at the time, and he told me that he couldn't read. He was like, I don't know how to read. And I remember being 5 and being so confused, and so that upset me. And so I got my little kindergarten books and letters, and I put them in my little red wagon, and I dragged them across the yard, and I decided I was going to teach my grandpa how to read. But he didn't want to learn. But I remember that feeling of, it doesn't make any sense to me that he's an adult and he doesn't know how to read. So for me, education became such an important thing, because I think specifically for Black people, you know, we're only a couple generations removed from slavery, and people like to make it seem like, oh, you know, slavery is so long ago, but it's not as long ago as people would like to think. So the fact that my grandfather, you know, couldn't read that stems from the fact that he couldn't go to school. You know, he had to work, and that goes back to generations of things, but I think that education for me was always really important, and learning to read was always such an important thing for me, and I have such a love for books. I remember, like, spending hours in the bookstore and in the libraries at my school, and how that was my favorite thing. Like, library day was my favorite day, because we got to go and hang out and get all these books, and it was just such an amazing part of my life. And I wanted to give that to other kids. I wanted to, you know, give them the joy of books that I got, and the joy of being in the library, and, you know, being able to take books home with you, and you will see all the pictures and you read all the stories. And I just knew that that was something that was always in my spirit, because it's because I remember that. Like, to this day, I remember that. And I don't, you know, it's hard to keep memories from when you're a small child, but I distinctly remember that moment and how important books became to me after that moment.
Wow, wow. You know, kudos to the fact that the seed to become an educator was born out of the adversities of education being withheld from your grandfather, from his grandfather, you know, think in terms of the lineage of our Black history on American soil. And when you put together the timeline, slavery was the other day. Sharecropping was yesterday. And here we are today. Come on now, y'all don't want none of me. Because I'm entrenched very deeply into the timelines of our history. I have published a sharecropper. And when I tell you that I trembled with anger, you know, you can just about still feel the hurt and the pain that goes along with our suffering that led to the fact that we were ever enslaved, sharecropped, and refused an education. But the game has changed, y'all, because Aaron Joshua is not only an educator. See, that five-year-old with her wagon and her books and her notes, she's now 30-something, a very young 30-something, barely in her 30s, y'all. Happy belated birthday the other month. But, you know, so when you look at it, in the course of 25 years, you changed history. Hallelujah. You changed history. You see, one generation in between you and your grandfather. But now guess what? The trajectory of his lineage is changed forever. I want you to write about your grandfather. Men of honor, ladies and gentlemen, jumblefeathersoulinternational.com. We have many books under development, and it just sounds like your grandfather was truly a man of honor. And while babysitting you, an epiphany, this young child not understanding how a whole grown person, an authoritarian figure in her life, is removed from a connection that seems like it's a given, but it's not. It's not a given. And so there is so much more that is not a given. And that's why I'm so thankful and grateful that not only you, but Mr. Allen T. Black are at the helm of the Recipe for Literacy in the Black community. Who would have ever known that born out of your grandfather, who could not read, who comes from a generation of non-readers being prevented from acquiring tools of empowerment that would change his life immediately. This is what that is. That is the denial of empowerment. But just one generation later, look two generations later with the parent between you, the whole trajectory is changed. So now with the remaining time that we have left, tell our audience, because you are the change agent of your generation in your family. When you tell me about your grandfather and that day right there, I could talk about that day for a long time, but that one day and that moment that changed the history of things to come, the trajectory of your life. You became an educator that day.
Exactly.
You became an educator that day. So now when you look into, because I know that you've educated children on the full spectrum from elementary all the way to high school.
Yes.
What would you say, ultimately, when you think about that day with your grandfather and the seed that was planted for you to become an educator, fast forward, what seeds are you planting to change the trajectory of those five-year-olds that you are coming in to contact with in your life as an educator?
That's a good question. I feel like the seeds that I am planting, that I am doing the work to plant, is that they are more than their circumstances, that they can do hard things, and that they are capable of anything, and also that education is a tool for them. You know, a lot of kids are like, I hate school, but I think for me, it's about teaching them that this is a tool for your life. This is a tool to help you, you know, to get things that you want in your life, because no matter what you do, you're going to have to read something. So, like, whatever job you're doing, you're going to have to read. So it doesn't matter if you, you know, you driving a bus or you are a doctor, you're going to have to read. So for me, stretching the importance of reading, for one, how important that is, how important literacy is just for your life in general, and that, you know, books bring you a better life. Like, to me, you have the opportunity to transcend into another world through a book. So just about love of literacy, and also love of self, teaching them about loving themselves and what that looks like, and, you know, how you behave when you love yourself, when you treat yourself well, and you demand respect so other people will treat you well too. So I think the seed that I'm planting is self-worth and self-love and love of words, love of reading, and just love of yourself. Yeah.
Wow. You know, you are a remarkable young sister, author, poet, radio host, but most of all, a woman that is making a contribution to society, educating the next generation of leaders. So I salute you for your work. I thank you for your contribution to Tribe Family Channel, Gumbo for the Soul International. Thank you for being my guest here on A Book is Born. And I want you to tell our listening audience where they can pick up your Page Turner and how they can connect with you on social media in case they want to conversate with you beyond here.
Thank you. Thank you, Beverly, for all of that. Girl, you always make me feel so good about myself. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
They can find my book. It's on Amazon. Again, the title is Things I Only Say in My Head. You can also find it on my website. It is lifeunlocked.org, and that's unlocked, UNLOCED.org. And you can find me on my social media at lady_Joshua1 on Instagram and Erin Joshua on Facebook. You can catch me on Mondays for Literacy in the Black Community with Alan T. Black. And, yeah, I'm all over the place. So, yeah, if they want to get in touch with me, that's all my info.
Wow. Well, congratulations once again. Thanks for being my special guest on A Book Is Born. And I hope everyone will go out and grab a copy of your book. What a phenomenal title and an extraordinary woman. So thank you once again, and we will definitely be tuning in to The Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community on Mondays with Erin Joshua and Alan Black. So again, thank you so much for taking this Friday and some time out to be here to discuss your literary journey. And ladies and gentlemen, you can find us on the web at www.gumboforthesoulinternational.com, on facebook.com/tribefamilychannel. I'm Beverly Black on all social media, at Gumbo for the Soul, at A Book Is Born on Twitter, LinkedIn, Beverly Black, and be sure to follow the facebook.com/tribefamilychannel page for all updates concerning Tribe Family Channel. So thank you once again, Erin, on this last Friday of January 2022. This new year is already flying by. So I want to encourage all of you to pursue your journey. Bring out the best in yourself. Do all that you can do to reach the highest expression of your essence. That's going to do it for me, Beverly Black. A Book Is Born on Tribe Family Channel at Gumbo for the Soul International Family Brand, you guys. Thank you once again, Erin, and have a blessed evening.
Thank you, Beverly. You have a beautiful evening. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you. You as well. Talk to you soon. God bless.
Bye.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. This song is for the children and their dreams. You can be a lawyer, doctor, and even a president. All you got to do is believe. Love will shine on you one day.
Oh.